And welcome to Passionately Interested, a podcast where we discuss things we're passionately interested in. I'm your spooky host, Curtis.
And I'm your nerdy host, Nick.
Well, it's almost Christmas time. And in fact, when people are listening to this, it is after Christmas time.
We're speaking to you as the ghost of Christmas past.
The digital ghosts of Christmas. It's like that Scooby-Doo movie, but more Christmassy. Did you listen? So I'm about to call you out on the episode. Do you listen to our episodes after they air?
Sometimes.
Okay. Did you listen to the last one?
I did not. It has been way too hectic lately to do a lot of stuff.
Okay. I mean, I honestly wouldn't have been surprised if you said no. The only reason that I listen to them is because I edit them. So
no, that's fair.
That means nobody told you about the thing you know what? That means I could. There's some shit that I've probably done to you in editing that you don't know about. Did anybody tell you about any of the shit that I did leave in last episode?
No.
Okay. I was reminded because you literally just did it again. So last episode, while we were recording, you got thirsty and cracked a can of soda open into the microphone. And then whispered into the microphone, "Ignore my Diet Pepsi." So I left the whole thing in. So when people listened to the last episode, there's just like me talking and then, "Ignore the Diet Pepsi." Because I was like, well, he said something. I have to leave it now.
Could have edited the whole thing out.
I could have. No. There's some stuff where it's like later on, I'm like, we'll just edit that out. And then I listen back. I'm like, I'm not editing that out. And then I actually edit out the part where we say that I'm going to edit out.
I'll have you know, today it is not a Diet Pepsi. It is a Mango Pepsi Zero Sugar.
Wow, that's a lot of stuff going on in that one can. I have an eighth of a can of Orange Fanta right now.
That is very specific.
Yeah, well, I would have gotten another one before we started recording, but I only got like two left in there, and I might be home tomorrow from work. So I was like, I'm going to want that Fanta.
No, that's fair, yeah.
Because right now we've got a yellow level weather advisory for my county, and tomorrow we're supposed to get a bunch of snow overnight, I think, and then tomorrow it's supposed to be super windy, and it rained today, so the pre-treatment on the roads probably came off, so there is potential that I will be home all day tomorrow, which means I'm going to play Hello Neighbor 2 probably all day.
You know, one of the downsides of working remotely.
You know, my wife has the same problem because they sent her home with her laptop today because she can work remote. So they're like, well, take your work computer home just in case. So she doesn't get the luxury of snow days anymore. I, however, somebody who builds stuff with his hands for a living will be laying on his bed playing a suspenseful puzzle game all day. Have you ever heard of or played the first Hello Neighbor?
I've watched it, but okay. I've never played it myself, no.
Okay, I watched some of it too. I ended up playing it and beating it. And so Hello Neighbor 2 came out like a couple of weeks ago, and it kind of came out quietly.
Yeah, I think I only heard about it coming out because I saw somebody playing it on, like, I saw it pop up as a recommended video on YouTube.
Okay. Yeah.
And I was like, oh, there's a second one?
Yeah. I saw an like that it was going to come out on Xbox Game Pass because it came out straight onto Game Pass. Like, it is already on there. So when I saw that, I was like, oh, I got to play this. And just for anybody who doesn't know, it's a, like, mystery-esque, but it's super puzzle-based. It's a first-person game, and the first one, it took place around this guy's house, and you had to like uncover the mystery of why it sounds like there's a kid in the basement and all this kind of stuff. So you run around and do all these puzzles, but the whole time the owner of the house, which is this big creepy guy with gloves and a shovel, is like wandering around the house and trying to, he's just like checking rooms and moving his way around his property and through his house and stuff like that. And if he sees you, then he'll try and chase you and catch you. So you have to try and escape. And there's like a couple of tools you can use to try and escape, but mostly you just need to break line of sight. The interesting thing about the game is that that guy was controlled by, like, the game has an AI system. So every time you get seen and caught, like when you get caught, it spawns you in your childhood house across the street. The game, like, remembers what you did and where you were, like, where the guy saw you and how he saw you, like, get into the house or whatever. And it adapts and puts traps there or makes it harder to get in, or he patrols that area more and stuff. So you can't do the same tactics over and over. That game came out, hold on, let me look it up so I can give you an actual year comparison.
It was a few years ago.
Yes, it was. And that's what makes the second one so terrifying to me. So Hello Neighbor, the first one, released in 2017. So 5 years ago. And as everybody who has TikTok knows, AI is crazy now. Like, there is a filter that makes an AI manga version of, like, whatever the camera is facing at. Like, it makes an anime character using AI. So, needless to say, I'm absolutely terrified of what might happen in the new game with 2022 AI capabilities. But this one, like, one of the things that I'm super excited about is that it is more, it's a far more open world. You actually get to explore the entire town. It doesn't just take place in this one dude's house. Like, there's a bunch of other shit to do, so it's a lot bigger than that, and I'm just super excited.
You know the downside with me in open world games?
Hmm.
I never finish them.
Oh, yeah. I agree. I also have that problem. I end up usually playing another character more often than not. I think this one's different because it's open world, but it does still, I'm pretty sure, have like a linear, like it's like a branching linear path.
Fair enough.
So it's like you can go and check out any of these areas, but each area has a sequence of puzzles that you need to do in order to complete that area. If it's anything like the first one, though, it's like there are many solutions to this puzzle. It's up to you to figure it out. Like, there are like 6 to 10 ways to to get to this and like open this door. So that's one thing that makes it very interesting with the AI, is that sometimes if you fuck up enough attempting to do a certain sequence, that sequence is going to be inaccessible because of how much defense the game has set up against that path. So then you have to choose one of the other puzzle paths. And I find that a fascinating use of AI.
Watching people play the first one, it was an interesting progression because people started playing it very early in its development, and just watching it shift over time, it got real interesting.
Yeah, so as you can imagine, this one might get a lot more dicey a lot faster, since our AI capabilities now versus 5 years ago is astronomical.
What's the worst that happens?
Exactly. Oh, boy. Well, the other thing, too, about Hello Neighbor 2, it was originally, like, showcased as a different game. And it might be that it's part of Hello Neighbor 2, but they made it seem like they were doing a different IP. And I think originally they were, and then they changed their mind to do Hello Neighbor 2, or it was to see people's reactions, something like that. But the original showcase that they did for a game made it look like you were going to be this adult guy who is night security at an abandoned amusement park, and it was the reverse order from Hello Neighbor, because Hello Neighbor, you're trying to sneak in to somebody's, like this guy's house, right? the showcase for the gameplay that they were showing was that you're the one setting up defenses against a enemy trying to get to you that has learning AI.
That sounds interesting and terrifying.
I know! And I hope that that's still integrated into Hello Neighbor 2, because of the idea that you are being... Because he had like this treehouse base, basically. And so you could set up cameras and you were supposed to like try and complete puzzles and solve this story all according to this like short trailer, basically. But you like were supposed to travel out into the amusement park and all this kind of stuff while being hunted by a computer enemy that is powered by a learning AI that watches how you set up defenses and follows your gameplay patterns and learns how you play in order to hunt you better. The only other thing that if I remember right from the trailer was that it didn't like having a flashlight pointed at it, and if you turned and look like pointed your flashlight at it, it would hide, and that was basically the way to stop it. And then they announced that they're like, oh, we're doing Hello Neighbor 2. So I don't know if that took place of it or if that sequence is going to happen within this game. I so hope that it's going to, because the bad guy in that showcase was this like humanoid person looking thing with a purple or black hoodie that it had pulled up, and sticking out of where its face would be is this super long, like, crow beak. But then the rest of it's humanoid. The silhouette of that figure is in the background of the thumbnail for Hello Neighbor 2.
Huh.
So my hopes are out that it is part of the game. I'll play it. I'll let you know once I get far enough in. Like I said, if I'm off tomorrow, I'm going to play that. But I'm off all next week. All I have to do is move my roommate in probably Tuesday, but then otherwise I don't have a whole lot going on other than just like helping them get settled and hanging out with my kids, so I'm probably gonna play a lot of this game.
So because I was curious, I looked it up. It's not just a crow beak sticking out from a hoodie. The entire head is a beak.
Yeah. That's what's fucking terrifying. but it's a cool character design, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, it's got like striped leggings and like really spindly legs, because the game itself is very stylized.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's this creepy crow person done in this creator's style, but the hoodie is pulled up and its entire head is this huge pointy crow beak. But the silhouette of that character is in the background of the thumbnail, so I have a feeling that it was left in. The only thing that grinds my gears a little bit about Hello Neighbor 2, and I've seen other games do this, and I kind of like it's the same issue I had with those. On launch day, it had 4 DLCs you could buy.
I hate when games do that.
I know. I don't understand. I don't know why that's the path that we've gone with stuff. Somebody's already paying you for the game. Why do you have... Because one of them is like $6, and then like the other two are $20.
So that to me just says we didn't send you the whole game.
Right, exactly. It's like, hey, we built this whole game. We've put a paywall in front of four sections of it.
Because
mm-hmm. like one of the cheapest ones was it's like six, maybe $4, and you get a drone with a camera. So in it, it says like it gives you the ability to like look at puzzles from different angles and fly around the whole town. And it helps to like, you can get different vantage points on stuff. But then there's a library, there's a school, and I think there was one other area. And like each one has a different new enemy that you don't have access to. And it's, I don't understand why it wouldn't just be in the... I get it when they put DLC out 4 months, 6 months, 8 months, a year after the game comes out.
Yeah, that's very different. That's them essentially just continuing to develop the game.
Right. But why would you release a game that... Right, and then have, like, paid DLC from the get-go? Mm. Like, hey, you're buying this game, but this is like buying just the game is the light version. If you want the full version of the game, you got to give fork over another $35.
See, that just is how you encourage me to not to buy your game.
I agree. And the only reason that I am contemplating buying those DLCs is because I got the game on Game Pass. So it was free for me.
Hmm.
And now I guess now that I'm saying that out loud, I wonder if that's why. I wonder if that's why they did that, because the game was going to Game Pass day one. If maybe that's the strategy for additional income now for games that are on Game Pass immediately.
Yeah, that would make more sense. Yeah.
Yeah, because Tiny Tina's Wonderland did the exact same thing. It launched, it went on, it was on Game Pass day one, but for everybody else who doesn't have Game Pass or doesn't have an Xbox at all, they could pay the money. But they had, from day one, a paid DLC side story.
Gotcha.
And so it was like $18 for this side mission. It was like a mission story set, so it's not a main thing. It was like it was a side storyline, but day one they had that DLC, and it was $18 for a game that was $60. And actually, I think I purchased the game. I don't think it was on Game Pass day one.
That makes a bit of a difference.
Yeah, well, I was trying. I thought that it was on Xbox Game Pass day one. I might be wrong. I'm almost certain that I paid $60 for it. I could get on my Xbox and check. I'm not going to. But I'm almost certain that I just own the game. Yes, I did. I bought it for $60. Because because there was a deluxe version that was like $100.
What the hell did that come with?
It came with a cosmetic armor set. And I think that one DLC storyline, and then some like of the in-game currency that you use for special upgrade shit.
Like that's you don't get any like physical thing. It's just all that's not worth.
Yeah, it was $100 for the deluxe digital version, because there was a $60 one. There was included a free upgrade if you were to switch to the new console.
So. There were three versions. The base, yes. There was Chaotic Great, and then there was the Tiny Tina's Wonderland's Treasure Trove.
Mm-hmm.
But didn't
mm-hmm.
include the game.
It was just a DLC thing?
No. It's what GameStop released. It was a $100 package that, for some reason, they decided to sell it without the game, instead of including it in like a game bundle, which would have made sense.
Right.
You got a Butt Stallion plush, illustrated tarot cards, standalone Bunkers and Badasses module, enamel companion pins, the Butt Stallion's Castle papercraft booklet, and a cloth Wonderland's map.
I mean, okay, if it's all physical, I guess that's something.
Yeah, see, that's worth it. And, like, to me, when deluxe editions actually include something with it, right. That's way more worth it.
Oh, absolutely.
Like when Fallout 4 launched with the Pip-Boy edition.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Or when Fallout 76 launched with the Power Armor Helmet edition.
Right, absolutely. Like those things, or the collector's edition of Halo 3 that came with the Master Chief Helmet casing thing.
Mm-hmm.
I had that for a long time.
When it comes to something, to me, that's way more worth it.
Right. But this was like, I bought the game digital, and right from the get-go, there was another version that had, like, some in-game DLC shit, and then maybe that storyline, I can't remember. And then it was also like, and if you buy this, then when you upgrade to an Xbox S or X, you get a free, like, key that turns your, like, the Xbox One version into the Xbox S, like, X version. Otherwise, I think it's like $8.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't get it. So I am a little peeved with the developers of Hello Neighbor 2 for the fact that they had four DLCs on day one. But I wonder, again, if that is now a revenue system for games that are going onto services like Game Pass. Which slightly worries me, because does that mean that that's going to be the new norm?
God, I hope not.
Right. It's just like, I already, I want to pay for the game and have the full experience and then later rope me back in with DLC. Like, that's how Skyrim did it, and that's how, like, Elder Scrolls always does that. They wait, like, a handful of months, and then they start shoveling out, like, hey, look, some houses and another storyline. Mm-hmm. And
I'm trying to think what the most recent game I bought was.
Satisfactory.
No. I've had that for a while, and it's been in the Power Wash Simulator. Oh.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think the most recent game, I can't think of the most recent game that I bought. The most recent game, new game that I received was Starbound on Steam, which I would like to play again, but I need to upgrade my computer, which I guess now is a good time to mention that, so nobody is surprised. My laptop is dying. I keep having some major problems. Looks like it's probably the motherboard. So there's potential that in the near future, it might die on me, which means that I will have to get a new one before we can record more episodes. So if we have a period of time where new episodes aren't coming out, my computer died. We'll say something on social media. So if you don't follow us on there, that might be a good idea. Otherwise, just don't be surprised.
Which I find interesting because my motherboard died last week. So.
I know. Like, what the hell? Both of our computers at the same time are both like, and die.
They just couldn't take it anymore.
I know. They can't. Yeah, they can't. They're like, we can't handle your voices anymore. However, I did make a smart purchase, and I bought a 1 terabyte external hard drive, so our podcast is nice and safe in this little, it's smaller than a cell phone, but bigger than a credit card. So, like, it's no flash drive, that's for sure. Yeah, it's like $50 for a terabyte. I was like, don't mind if I do. That's, I mean, what we upload are MP3s, which are smaller than the files that we record. So, I can fit hundreds of episodes on this easily, if not thousands of episodes onto this little external hard drive. And that's all it's for.
Technology.
Okay. All right. Well, I actually want to move into our episode topic. Because I'm very excited. We're basically going to play like a little game. So, Nick, why don't you run us through what we're doing?
I mean, you came up with it. I'm just...
I'm trying to give you... I talk a lot. It's fine.
Listen,
I got this.
I only have a rough idea of what we're doing. You came up with it.
Okay, I'll run back through for both of us and for the listeners. So the general idea is I wanted for us to talk about the hottest toys of Christmas for our childhoods. And that was where the idea started. And I was like, hey, we'll like look up a list of the hottest toys of Christmas from 1990 to 2000. And then it kind of hit me and I remembered that Nick is a little bit older than I am. So toys from your childhood would have been the 80s to 90s. And then my childhood is 90s to 2000s.
Listen,
so,
I was born in 87. My childhood didn't really take place in the 80s.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, but it was like, I was born in 93. So it's a 6-year difference. So there is still going to be some difference. So, I mean, I guess we could have done 90s for you and early 2000s for me. But like...
No, I get it. I get it.
Yeah. I think these are going to be more interesting. And I'm also just kind of curious, since both of us were born a little ways into this decade that each of us took, because Nick is taking 1990 to 2000 for the toys, and I'm taking 1980 to 1989. And so I'm interested to see if we can both guess the stuff, even for like earlier in the decade than when we were born. But to make it a little bit easier, when we're going to say the year, and then I'm trying to think of the best way. Ooh. So I don't know if your list is the same. Underneath each item, it has like a blurb about this toy.
Mm-hmm.
What if we read the first sentence of that blurb without the name in it?
Yeah, that could be doable.
Is that going to work for your list?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. All right, let's do that. Because I was going to say, and then maybe as a backup for each one, we can request one hint. And we'll just see who can do the most of them without using with using the least amount of hints. How's that sound?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Good. All right, I'll start. I'm going to start with 1980, and then you can do 1990, and we'll just flip back and forth. Sound good to you?
Yeah, it sounds good.
All right, Nicholas Wog. Welcome to Hottest Toys of Christmas, the wonderful competitive game show. I am your handsome host, Curtis Knight.
You said my name wrong. That's all I'm just saying.
I did? How did I say it wrong?
You said the last name wrong.
Oh, is it not Wog?
No, it's Wah.
Wah. I've always heard people pronounce it with a G at the end.
Well, they're all pronouncing it wrong.
Apparently. Well, also, to be fair, I was an orc player when I played Warhammer 40K.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
And that is spelled the same way, and that is Wog.
No, there's no U in the Warhammer one.
No, I'm just wrong on all fronts. It's totally fine.
Yeah, I'm not orcish. I'm Scottish.
Oh. potato. All right, Mr. Wall.
There you go.
Are you ready for your first category?
Yeah, you just gotta give me the blurb, and we'll see how badly I do.
All right, 1980. The blank is a pretty amazing story, a story of a simple item meant to help math students, and then became one of the best-selling toys of all time.
Meant to help math students?
Mm-hmm. 1980.
What the hell could be created to help math students that became a best-selling toy?
You do also have a hint. You can use your lifeline.
All right, give me a hint, because like, all I'm thinking is abacus, and like that's not... No.
There are world records for how fast someone can use this toy.
Oh, Rubik's Cube.
Boom. Got a ding, 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 ding.
That would make sense. That would make sense.
Yeah, it was the Rubik's Cube. It was invented by Erno Rubik in 1975. He was an inventor, architect, and professor, and the first Rubik's Cube was made up of blocks of wood and rubber bands. The first commercial version would be released in Hungary and was called the Magic Cube. But that was the hottest toy of 1980.
Now I'm just trying to envision how this would work with rubber bands and wooden cubes.
I know. Like, excuse me?
What?
We'll have to look that up later, because I don't even know.
That, yeah. Okay. So I'm starting 90, you said?
Yep, 90, top of the list. Okay. We're going to work our way later into the decade.
So we have different lists. My blurbs are a little longer.
Okay.
But I'm going to... Yeah. So in 1990, this film took cinemas by storm, clocking up $200 million at the box office and quickly becoming the highest grossing indie film of the time. These were just as popular, and kids everywhere were fighting over who was the best and demanding the entire collection for Christmas.
Pokemon cards.
Nope, not 1990.
Oh,
way too early for those.
Oh no, I thought I had it.
Yeah, no, you got that wrong.
Damn. Okay. I said that with such conviction and confidence.
No, 1990. That is too early for Pokemon cards here, my friend. Would you like a hint?
I would.
Let's see. What's a good hint that won't make it super obvious? Think pizza. Really like pizza.
Oh, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That came out in 89, didn't it? The first live action one?
No, it was 1990.
Was it 1990?
I believe. Let me double check.
I thought the first one came out in like the late 80s.
Let me check the film franchise. Come on, give me the release date. March 30th, 1990.
Okay. Oh, so early yep. March.
Which would explain why it became a Christmas thing.
Yes. Okay, that makes sense. I remember I watched it recently because they're all like all those live action ones are on, I think, Hulu or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I my wife had never seen them before. So we sat there and we ordered Bao Buns off of DoorDash and then sat there and watched the first live action TMNT movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoy so much that being a kid's movie in 1990, they were allowed one, like, quote unquote, low level cuss word. And they used it to have Raph on yep. the roof go, "Damn!" I was like, "Oh, naughty, naughty." Oh, man. Ah, damn it. I was thinking movie franchises, and I was like, what year did I don't think Pokemon came to the U.S. until, like, 95, actually. Now that I'm thinking about, like, later 95 or 96. Was it 97?
Sorry, you said 95 first, so maybe.
Yes, I did.
98.
98? Yep. Wow. Okay. Jeez. My brother was 2. Okay. All right.
All right, give me the next one.
All right, 1981, Mr. Waugh. Doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. Let me look.
I know, I'm looking at some of these, and I'm like, man, this blurb makes it super obvious what it is. How can I
know. Yeah. Okay, on this one, just because the blurb doesn't really give anything, these toys are based off of a TV show, which was based off of a comic franchise. A Dutch comic franchise, I'll give you that.
Dutch comic franchise?
It was a Dutch comic franchise, which turned into a hit TV show, which resulted in these toys. 1981.
Yeah, I am definitely going to have a hint on that one.
Okay. I don't... I part of this gives an interesting piece of information, but I don't think it would be a good hint. The TV show that these toys are based off of revolves around a village that live in fear of a giant who always wants to catch them.
Oh, Smurfs.
Yeah.
Didn't nice. Know it was based off of... Yeah, didn't... Okay.
Yeah. The idea of the Smurfs goes back as far as 1958. After that, they became used in things like comic books before making their way to TV. The Smurfs were created as a Dutch comic franchise by an artist known as Peyo. They were first called the, I'm about to butcher this, Straumpf, which was apparently a made-up word by the artist when he couldn't remember the French word for salt. Okay. That's amazing. The cartoon show debuted September 12th, 1981. The show was a massive hit for NBC and was the winner of awards for excellence in children's programming. It would later be nominated for daytime Emmys. So the toys were small Smurf figures.
Okay.
Yes. And then Smurf franchise was limited to a few small figurines. When the show launched, it resulted in an avalanche of Smurf merchandise, including toys, lunch boxes,
well, yeah,
plush dolls,
and cereal. There were so many Smurfs.
I know. Well, and apparently the writer of this article on everything80spodcast.com had one of those lunch boxes, because in parentheses next to lunch boxes it says, which I had.
I just want to know what a Smurf berry tastes like, man.
I know. Yeah.
Okay. So 1991. All right,
hit me with 1991.
Okay. Let me go over this paragraph real quick. Censor words. Okay.
Wow, there's a lot of cuss words in this article.
No, I'm censoring the name of the item.
I know. God. I was making a joke, Nicholas.
Okay. The history of this toy actually dates back to the 1920s in Hawaii, when the precursor were used as a game among children. Decades later, this simple game made its way into the mainstream when these items began to be sold and the Hawaiian game took the world by storm. Kids everywhere were battling it out in the playground to see who could get the biggest collection.
Pogs.
Yep.
Yes. Yes, 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 yes. It started in Hawaii?
Yeah, because it was milk bottle caps.
Oh, that's awesome. Do you remember the Pog gun?
Yes. It didn't
the
have one
Pog shooter?
Because I didn't want one because it would ruin my Pogs.
Right. Well, the funny thing is I never got into Pogs. I actually learned about them later in life. Like, it was just something that I missed.
Mm-hmm.
I had other collections. I'm going to see if they're on this list.
Oh, yeah. No, I had a good amount of Pogs.
Yeah. I had some other stuff, which I will try to remember to mention when the list is done, because I'm curious if they're on there. I don't remember if it was 2000s or not.
I seem to recall Pogs being later than 91, though. Like, that when they were big around me, it was definitely not 1991. It was years later.
Right. 91, it might have been, like, regionally popular, like maybe in bigger cities, and then it slowly moved its way out.
Yeah, that's fair.
Well, awesome. I got that one. So we are 1-1 on hints.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So I'm 1 out of 2, and you're 1 out of... No, you're 2 out of 2.
Yeah.
Well, well, well. 2 hints for you, 1 hint for me.
Yeah,
that's a better way to say it than the dumbass way I was doing it. I did get one wrong. Man, that's not good.
With such confidence.
I got it wrong really, really hard, confidently. Like the conviction. All right, 1982. 82. Contestant Nick.
Uh-huh.
Are you ready?
As ready as I'll ever be.
This toy was a... Ooh, hold on. So, I'll give you this right off the bat. This is another toy based off of a TV show from the 80s.
Most kids' toys are slash were.
Right. Oh, no. No, 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 no. Flip that. This is a toy that inspired a cartoon show.
Oh... I think I might know where this is going, but I want to hear the bit first.
Because
I do know of a toy line that was that.
Okay. Here we go. Everything started in 1981 before it was relaunched in 1982. The first line of toys started with 6 small but colorful animals, I'm censoring a word, known as Generation 1.
Animals.
And it is a toy line that inspired a very popular cartoon show and movies and more toy lines.
Ooh. Started with animals. That is not what I thought it was then.
Mmm. I have a feeling you're thinking of something later in the list.
Probably. Yeah, I'm definitely going to have a hint then.
Okay.
Because if I'm thinking of something that's later.
I have an interesting hint for you. It's still incredibly popular today, infamously by grown men.
That.
And there is a massive stigma about these grown men being very into
it. The look on my face is not a pleasant one. It's My Little Pony, isn't it?
Yes, it is My Little Pony. Yep.
Damn bronies.
Well, I couldn't use the first sentence because it said a favorite of bronies everywhere. Like, okay, God. And then, well, the next one was I grew up with a sister and was all too familiar with blank. Like, that's nothing. And then the next one is this toy was a juggernaut and was under my under many trees during the Christmas. It's like, give me something.
I know, like some of these you look at and you just go, shit.
Yeah, can't use it, can't use it, can't use it, can't use it.
Okay. 1992.
Mm-hmm.
We can skip that part. So this character was the main star of a runaway hit children's television show that started life in 1992. So it started the year of this toy.
Wow.
And kept on running until 2009.
Oh, shit.
It was the most popular toy on sale in Christmas of its first year, showing just how much children loved the show. Next line really gives it away, so I am not saying that. So it was a kids show that ran for 17 years. Very popular.
Wow-wee.
Also, I feel like the thing referenced in this last line probably appears in my list for you to ask me about.
probably. Oh, damn. 17 years?
Yep. Children's show, specifically.
Golly.
Yeah.
Shit, dog. For time's sake, I'm just going to make a guess. Is Hang it on. Care Bears?
No, it is not Care Bears. Care Bears was earlier than 92.
Fuck.
So what I was going to say is that there was an area for this show at Universal in Orlando that has since been removed and made to a DreamWorks dance spot, I want to say. Yeah.
What?
So, okay. It was also the second popular talking teddy bear-like toy to appear after Teddy Ruxpin. It is a theme song. The show has a theme song that if it gets in your head, you will not get it to leave for a decent amount of time. Main character was purple.
Oh, Barney.
Yep. It was the talking Barney.
Oh, I forgot Barney existed.
Right.
Oh my gosh.
It's like old school part of my childhood.
Yeah.
All right. What do we got for me?
Okay, no, that makes perfect sense. That was 1992?
Yeah, that was 92.
Okay. Wow. I mean, that was the year before I was born. Okay. 1983. Actually, this might do it. So 1983, the definitive must-have Christmas toy, maybe of all time, and the toy that started was a true toy craze could be. That's terrible.
It's the toy that started the first kind of toy craze.
Yeah. So in 1983... Oh my gosh.
Cabbage Patch Kids.
Yes.
I'm like, first toy craze. Yes, oh God, I remember this.
Yep. I want to read this sentence though. People had broken bones to get these, or had bones broken to get these things in 1983.
Yep.
And it seemed to set the stage for what retail hell could be with events like Black Friday.
Yeah.
That's terrible. So the my inspiration for this episode content, just real quick.
Game Grumps?
It was the most recent episode of the 10-Minute Power Hour for Game Grumps. In that episode, they get an original in-box Cabbage Patch Kid.
I can only imagine how much that thing cost. And then Aaron just throws it.
I know. Aaron's like, next. And she lands like face first in the ground. And
I know. I just like, man, that was probably a good chunk of money.
It was. Oh my gosh. It's still probably not as much as the headset water gun. Fire.
God, I remember them playing with that.
Man.
Okay.
Anybody who hasn't watched 10 Minute Power Hour by the Game Grumps, it's so worth it.
That it is.
Anyways.
Okay.
Anyways.
So 1993.
Yes. The year I was born.
This toy actually started as a prop for a movie, but it proved so popular that they made a working model in the run-up to Black Friday of that year.
Oh.
And it sold like crazy. The deluxe model of this actually allowed you to manipulate your voice.
It was god damn it, I can't remember the exact name of it, but it's that recording toy that he had in Home Alone.
Yep. It is the Talk Boy.
The Talk Boy!
Yeah, I didn't actually know that it started as a prop that they turned into a toy. I thought it was something that was made for the movie as like kind of a side-by-side kind of thing. Didn't realize
right. It
wasn't a real thing before. Like, okay.
That's interesting because you would think that they would have either done a side-by-side or have used a toy that already existed to boost the toy's sales.
Right? You wouldn't Instead think of, they just, we're just made gonna make something up.
Yeah, we're going to make something up nobody can buy and it's not going to make us any money. Like, what the fuck?
Right? All right. What do we got for 84?
1984. Okay, this is another toy that ended up with a cartoon TV series. Uh-huh. And it ended up with movies that uh-huh. have come out even recently.
Ah, Transformers.
Yes. Yep.
Yep. Yep. I'm like, it's mid-80s. It's got to be coming.
Yep. Yep. Transformers 1984. The sentence was almost just as much of a gimme. It said, "You've got the perfect combination of robot, alien, battle, novelty all around into one."
Huh.
Yeah, or all rolled into one.
Interesting.
Robot, alien, battle, novelty all rolled into, I don't know.
We got a weird coincidence. So 1994.
Mm-hmm.
Also a toy line.
Yeah.
Based off a TV show.
Uh-huh.
Also had movies.
Mm-hmm.
One semi-recently.
Oh. Oh, shit.
How do I change this sentence to a band of ethnically diverse kids?
Okay.
It says with superpowers. They did not have superpowers.
Oh.
On TV fighting aliens.
Power Rangers.
Yep.
Got it. Okay. Yes.
Fighting robots, aliens.
And well, it's also like new TV shows are coming out. I would have also gotten it if you had included originated in Japan.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because Power Rangers is Super Just, Sentai.
I like that 84 and 94, both about essentially shows that made movies, that made toys, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, recent mm-hmm. movies even,
yeah.
That included aliens and robots and a lot of fighting.
Dude, tiny aside, one of my coworkers has never seen Pacific Rim, so I started going off. I started gushing just like that episode that we did about it. And I mentioned to him too, like, my co-host and I did an episode about it. And this is why. And this is how I feel about it. And I was like, you gotta watch this. He goes, that sounds pretty cool. I'm like, okay, but hold on. Let me bring up on my phone. And I showed him the 10-second scene that you and I I was freaking out about in the episode.
Yeah.
Of Alpha, Cherno Alpha sprinting into combat, billowing its horn, and then like elbow dropping the fucking kaiju. And he was like, I gotta watch that. I'm like, if you can't find it on streaming, I own it.
Okay, hit me with 85.
1985.
Bum, bum.
Nah, you are blankety blank. The talking bear is actually
Teddy Ruxpin. Yeah. Oh man, Teddy Ruxpin is responsible for a song that gets stuck in my head to this day.
Mm-hmm.
Who wouldn't love a koala?
Yeah, they also had that on the 10-minute power hour. They had a Teddy Ruxpin.
Did, and its batteries went like all of them eventually do, and it did the demon voice.
It did, and I also loved how they put it really close to the mic so you could hear the like of its
in
fucking
all fairness,
mouth.
It had nothing to do with it being old. You could hear that when it was new too.
Yeah, it's terrifying. It says, Teddy Ruxpin was designed by a former employee of Disney who got inspired by the Country Bear Jamboree, Chuck E. Cheese, and the animatronic characters from Welcome to Pooh Corner. They could have named it better than that. Welcome to Pooh Corner.
Listen. Get your mind out of the gutter. Obviously... We're talking Winnie the Pooh. Here. Calm down.
I mean, when you see the spelling.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Well, fucking welcome to Pooh Corner. God damn it. That's hilarious.
So,
Teddy started out as just a head on a stick as a prototype.
So nightmare. Whoa. A literal nightmare.
Yeah. Wow. Wowee. All right. 1995.
Wow. I can't read any of these sentences. Let me give you some facts about this thing.
Sure.
It was an absolutely insane frenzy seeing these things hit the market.
Mm-hmm.
People bought them up left and right, some getting to insane prices. A lot of people kept them thinking, aha, I'll hang on to them for a while and sell them in the future.
Beanie Babies.
And they are worth, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Beanie Babies were a popular line of stuffed toys made with beans rather than traditional stuffing. And I'm like, how can I? No.
Yeah.
I can't say the word bean in relation to a toy animal. Like, no.
Right. I very much enjoy the rise and fall of the Beanie Baby market to, like, there was a certain period of time where they were worth quite a bit and people were like, it'll keep going up. And then it plummeted. And now they're like dollar stores and like 10 cents at a fucking secondhand shop.
And people are like, Nick, why don't you invest in crypto? And I'm like, because I've seen it happen before.
Beanie Babies, man. Beanie Babies.
Not even the first example. Freaking tulips.
Oh, God.
That's a whole really old thing. And I'm not going to get into it because it is a long story.
Let's do that at another point. We'll do that.
Okay.
Yes. You see, they want crypto to work as well as the TF2 hat system did. Now that's a good example of a digital currency-based economy.
Okay.
86. 1986. Another toy series that, it was a specific part of a toy line. I guess all of them. The whole series was like the toy of the year. It was named best-selling toy of 1986 in Toy and Hobby World magazine.
Mm-hmm.
We've just moved off of the one sentence thing because some of these don't fucking.
Yeah, like some of them you look at it and go, no, there's no way to change that.
Yeah. Here we go. The toys came out in 1982, accompanied by a Marvel comic series. The cartoon series came out in 1983. But it wasn't fully successful until 1986.
What?
So it was the show came out and
I'm just trying to process.
Let me just for the fun of it, let me read you these. It has a list of reasons why 1986 is when it took off. The cartoon was now more established and part of the popular zeitgeist for every young male in existence. This is going to give it away. All the characters, vehicles, and shows had been released, creating one giant collective and complete universe.
It's G.I. Joe or He-Man.
It's G.I. Joe.
Okay.
Yeah. The cartoon show was established as must-watch TV after school, airing in that 3 to 6 time slot. And the cartoon went into a full series in 1985 with 55 episodes after previously existing as 30-second cartoon commercials in 1982. Then two different five-part miniseries in 83 and 84. So that is why 86 became such a big deal.
Gotcha.
It had an 85, it gave it a full 55-episode series. And then it was just like, the toys had come out enough that they came out in a complete set. But according to this, the biggest thing of that Christmas was the USS Fiog from G.I. Joe. It was the airship carrier or aircraft carrier.
So, 19
Pound Puppies were number 2 that year.
Interesting. Oh, I remember Pound Puppies. Mm-hmm. Anywho, 1996.
Yes.
There are a lot of sentences about this one. I'm just going to make my own.
Okay.
Demand really outstripped supply on this one, creating the most recent thought of shopping frenzy for Christmas. Probably appearing more violent in your mind than the Cabbage Patch struggles.
Oh, gosh.
It is... probably, if you talk to anyone our age about a toy, not necessarily that they have, but they remember hearing about, causing a shopping frenzy.
Was it Furbies?
No, Furbies came later.
Oh, damn. I thought I had that too. I was like, what else did people go absolutely fucking nuts about? Furbies.
It was on the Power Hour.
Shit.
They gave it a knife.
I can't remember what the toy was. God damn it, but giving it a knife sounds exactly what they would do. Was it a Care Bear?
No, it was Tickle Me Elmo.
Oh, fuck, they did. They did. Yeah. They did. They dissected him.
They also did that. Oh, God. Yeah,
They removed his sack.
It is apparently a rumor. Nobody knows if it's actually true that someone paid $7,100.
Oh, my God. In 1996 money? That's like $10,000. Golly. Right.
What do we got for 87? The year, never mind. The year I was born. That was Koosh. I looked that one up long ago.
No.
Oh, we got different lists.
Yeah, we do.
As does the Grumps.
Apparently so. 1987, according to this at least.
We're not counting this as I got it wrong because I didn't even get a
No, because that's misinformation.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not on you. This is not a toy, but a game. Everyone has them to this day. And it is the game gets harder the more alcohol you drink.
The game gets harder than my alcohol you drink. That's most games.
But this one's especially.
What? Something people have to this day.
Yes. It is like literally one of the most common games in the United States. And I have a good hint for you if you need it.
Yeah, I definitely need a hint.
There are giant versions of this that people play in their yard at cookouts.
Is it Jenga?
Yes.
For 87, really?
Yep, 1987, Jenga.
I'm calling your list into question.
I don't know. All I got is the information that Everything 80s podcast came up with. So you can take it up with them.
I will. Expect an email.
All right, hit me with 1997.
97. It was the year to own this thing. By 2010, over 76 million have been sold. And it even made a reappearance in the year this article was written. It says this year, but I didn't actually bother to look up when this was written.
Oh.
So.
Hmm.
Ooh. 2017. Okay. Well, I guess it did come back then, yeah.
Oh, fucking 5 years ago. Golly. Golly. Is it Tech Dex?
No, it's not Tech Dex.
Okay, because those came back weirdly.
Yeah, so did this too. I'm not going to count that against you because I didn't really give you enough to work off of.
Mm.
It was an electronic toy. It was also on Power Hour. It allowed kids to have responsibility when parents didn't want them to have to deal with anything, really.
Oh. Power Hour.
Yeah. It was one of the many things that they didn't actually have to buy because they already had it in their office.
Oh, a Tamagotchi.
Yep.
Yeah. They stole his R2-D2 one and it didn't even turn on.
Well, no, it was dead because R2 was taken away by the Jawas. Yeah,
he's like, he got taken away by Jawas and Aaron's just like, well, that's sad. I love those two so much. Oh, boy. Okay, yeah, Tamagotchi. Yeah, they did come back. Actually, yeah. I've seen at Walmart they have Digimon Tamagotchis.
That doesn't shock me at all. I remember
they look like the Digivice.
I remember I had the Pikachu one that came later that you had. It was a pedometer in it as well. So you had to actually move to get points in it.
Oh, I remember those.
Yeah.
Wowee.
I also remember Holt just taking it and shaking it.
Yeah. Jenga was made by Hasbro.
Most things were.
Do you Hasbro? I Hasbro. 1988 Squishy Ball.
Oh, so that was Koosh?
That's Koosh, yep. Koosh, 1988.
So they probably flipped their years. Anywho, 98, this thing gave people freaking nightmares. Because sometimes it would just wake up in the middle of the night and talk.
Oh, Furby.
Yeah.
They're demonic. I'm curious if you're going to get 1989.
Ooh, what's 89?
So 1989, according to Reader's Digest, was the king of 1989, and its popularity was due to the upswing of electronic gaming.
89. Mm. That's going to be Nintendo.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, is it the NES or the Game Boy? I'm going to say NES.
It was, in fact, the Game Boy.
God damn it.
The 8-bit handheld, it first came out in Japan in 1989, and then North America in July. It felt like a portable NES.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. 99.
Mm-hmm.
Before the new millennium. Boy, how can I give you hints about this that aren't going to make it super obvious? It exploded onto the scene, and it is still super popular to this day. Yeah, the games are still very popular.
Pokemon cards?
Yep.
Yep. Okay. All right.
Okay. Like, I couldn't really give you anything about the blurb. It's like, oh, this animated series made its way into a trading card game.
Yep. Oh, shit. Well, I'm trying to see, because there was something there was something that I was 2002. Okay. So this wasn't going to be on your list because it was it came out in 2002. They're still okay. All right. Well, that is wild. They still make these.
Mm-hmm.
And it was something that I had instead of Pogs.
I'm assuming I'm looking at the same thing because it's still around and I've seen people having battles with these things on TikTok.
You tell me what you think it is first.
Beyblade.
No, but yes, I have seen they make new Beyblades. Again, Power Hour.
It's surprising Beyblade's still a thing.
I know. Well, they got bootleg ones and one of them was like, what was it? Fucking Wolf Piss, I think is what they named it. Of course. Oh, God damn it.
So no. What do you have on yours?
Mighty Beans.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I forgot about those.
Mighty Beans. I had Mighty Beans in the early 2000s, like instead of Pogs. But what blew my mind, 2002 to 2006 is availability, right? That makes sense. 2010 to 2012. Okay, that's a little weird. 2018 to 2020.
So they actually did go away.
Yeah, you can't kill Mighty Beans, apparently.
Oh, what was the
They've had five series.
There
they
was
made
another
a total
one
of 310 Mighty Beans.
There was another one that was very similar to that. I'm trying to look it up now.
Moose Enterprises die. Mighty Beans were an Australian toy. 2018 relaunch. Moose developed a new line of Mighty Beans, starting with 140 new beans. That was the start, which were released September 1st, 2018. A line of Fortnite named Mighty Beans, of course.
Of course. So, the one I had, I didn't have Mighty Beans.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy Bones.
Oh, I had some Crazy Bones, but not many.
This Crazy Bones was inspired by a children's game played in ancient Greece. Knuckle Bones.
Oh, neat. Didn't you just recently? No, friend bought a bag of Crazy Bones like early this year. Our friend Jacob recently bought Crazy Bones. He posted them on the Facebooks. So Jacob, if you're listening to this,
give me a character name.
Jay.
Okay. The problem is. Okay. I was like, hang on.
His other Cricks. Okay. Yep. Cricks bought Mighty Beans.
Oh, okay.
Or not Mighty Beans. God damn it. Crick's Crazy Bones. Crazy Bones.
I have Knucklebone Dice. No, my Crazy Bones went away in a garage sale guaranteed. Like, I don't know.
Oh, yeah. This is going to be another thing that now that I've put it into your mind's eye and you have adult money. In 2004, a Mighty Beans video game called Mighty Beans Pocket Puzzles was released for the Game Boy Advance. You know what's crazy? So there were three, after series five, there were 310 Mighty Beans, right? With the new series, that's an additional 140. And then they had an Easter series and a series 2. So if we were to assume that series 2 had another 60, because that's about the number that their other series has had. So 60, that's another 200. We'll say 20 for the Easter series. That might be generous. So 220, 530 Mighty Beans if you want every single one ever released.
Oy.
Yeah. Slogan, play them, race them, collect them. They called them the fucking Bean Bods. God damn it. Oh, boy. Yeah, fucking Mighty Beans. I also had Tech Decks. I was never good at them. But I remember we had, like, a case that, that like, had nameplates for the Mighty Beans.
But no, I had Tech Decks, too. I also had, like, the mini BMX bikes.
Oh, yeah, man. Golly. This is, again, we've talked about this in the last episode. We were talking about nostalgic toys. I really like the idea of a like old toy podcast, Nick.
Listen. do we need a third podcast? No.
No. Well, here's, we only technically, we have one with a mini series inside of it. So it would only be the second one. Until Short and Sweet breaks free from the confines of Passionately Interested, we have 1.5 podcasts. Oh, no.
But I like it as an idea.
There's we'll have a podcast so much within content. A podcast within a podcast.
Oh, my God. It's the toy one is for when we don't want to record Passionately Interested. Or Short and Sweet. It's a 5-minute podcast. They just keep kidding. It's reducing.
We just talk about the name of the toy, year it was released, and if you can still buy it.
Oh, shit. Okay. All right. Oh, I think that about wraps it up for that. That was fun.
It was fun.
What was... We didn't... I think we ended... I think you had six hints, and I think I was pretty close as well, and I fucked, so I think we tied, honestly.
I'll call it a tie.
Yeah, we'll call it a tie. The listeners can tell us we're wrong. Knowing the internet, listen, they will tell us we're wrong, but I believe we tied. To be perfectly honest, I ADHD'd and didn't mark anything down like I should have.
Yeah, that... would have been smart. No, I didn't do that either.
What happens when you have two ADHD people doing a podcast together? Not a whole lot.
Yeah, pretty much.
Bunch of tangents. I'd like to thank Nolan Dye for the use of our theme song, Chinaski, by his band Sad Gravity. You can find them as well as his other band, Best Sleep on Spotify. All very good music. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Passionately Interested. If you enjoy the show, tell your friends about us. Share us around. It's the holiday season. You got driving to do. Maybe you're bored. Maybe you're sitting around with your cousins and you need something to put on in the background. Why don't you put us on? They might like us. This one's Christmassy.
Ish.
Yeah, ish. Enough. It's about... We only cuss a couple of times.
It's about consumerism.
It's consume. That's Christmas in a nutshell. Get into the holiday spirit. Talk about toys.
Buy stuff.
Buy, sell. Share our podcast.
Oh. Share our podcast so we can get popular, get sponsors, and make money.
And sell a toy line. Oh, thank you everyone so much for listening. I'm Curtis.
I'm Nick. And just for anyone who wants to know, apparently, supposedly, the toy to get this year is Sox the Robot Cat from Disney and Pixar's Lightyear.
What?
Thanks for listening.